1240 AM WSBC. Yeah. Welcome back, folks, to another week of the Hoolies Hooli Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. This show is presented to you by the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub. There's one in Beverly and another one in Bridgeport here in Chicagoland.
Yep.
Visit them before every Sox game and say hello to Billy Getty, the proprietor. Fox's Beverly Pizza, finest tavern-style thin-crust pizza on Western Avenue.
Right.
I almost apologize for the delivery, but Fox's is top-notch, baby. Yeah. Flood Brothers Disposal. You got stinky, stinky garbage in this hot, hot July and August heat.
Yeah.
Call the Floods. They'll come and pick it up
for sure.
Madden Funds.
Yeah.
Invest your money with the Maddens.
Yep.
In these times, if you're nickeling and diamonding and you're trying to figure out how to put a kitty together for the rest of your life,
they'll help you.
Mike and Dan Madden are the guys to talk to. And Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. My name is Paddy Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. And joining me as always to my left, twin brother Billy.
What's up?
And Clay is on a hiatus. Clay will be back, though. I talked to him the other day. He's looking forward to a September 1st return to the program.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
He's been dealing with some stuff at home, and, you know. Everything good, though. Clay's doing wonderful.
Yeah.
He's taking care of his ma. She hurt her foot.
Yeah.
So we miss Clay, though.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to hear that he's going to be coming back soon. Billy, we had Sean Flannery last week. I want to thank him again. Wonderful guest. You can go see him doing his show every week, The Blackout Diaries, on Friday night at Lincoln Lodge. Or you can check out his new podcast with Starburns Audio, The Blackout Diaries.
Yeah.
Also, buy his new book, Places I Can't Return To. So that was a fun episode.
Mm-hmm.
You were going to go to New Orleans this week. You went to, what was the name of the festival you were going to, Bill, again? Or it was this Tales of the Cocktail. And this was a work trip you went on.
It was, yes.
A lot of more work than play, or more play than work this time around?
I think it was probably more play than work. It's a huge networking event for sure.
It's for like mixologists and
for
brand aficionados within the liquor industry, correct?
That, yeah, and then it's also for distributors and people that work for wholesalers and all that stuff.
So is it an exposition or is it a show? I'm confused. Is it like a convention? What is it?
So yeah, so there's classes that are offered that you sign up for, where specialists within the industry come out and they'll talk about new things and that are going on, new trends within drink making.
So it's like a festival. It's programmed like a festival.
Absolutely. There's pop-up parties all over the place.
Got it.
Like, oh, you'll walk there and they're like, this is the William Grant party, and then this is the party for Diageo throws this, and Brown-Forman might have another one over there. The Ritz-Carlton, yeah. I was at...
Mike has a note. Ritz-Carlton.
They
said Rich Carlson. Yeah, he works for Diageo. He's a great guy.
No, I was at the Waldorf Astoria.
You were?
Called the Roosevelt Hotel Waldorf Astoria in New Orleans. It was wonderful. Very cool, classic old New Orleans hotel that just had that, you just wanted all of a sudden to start listening to some jazz when you walked in there,
See any vampires or anything like that while you're in New Orleans? You ever watch the show True Blood?
I've seen it. Yeah, does that take place in New Orleans?
It's in Louisiana. Yeah.
But
I associate, after watching that show, I associate New Orleans with voodoo and vampires.
There's all kinds of
and just late night craziness. There's a real darkness to New Orleans.
You just get I'll admit that, like, as soon as you got down, I got down there, the feeling of like, okay, you see the Superdome and all of the, obviously the first thing that jumps into my mind is Katrina and the 85 Bears,
right?
Yeah. And then you're down on Bourbon Street, but as soon as you get to the French Quarter within that area, you do have that. You just all of a sudden you're like, there's been some strange stuff that's happened here.
Yeah. Do you ever get like, and you got to keep the buddy system in New Orleans. You're not walking around by yourself. Like, I'm new here.
Absolutely.
I've had a little bit to drink today. I love music.
Yeah. That's like, kill me.
Right. Exactly.
I did get
that's vampire bait. Right there.
Oh, yeah. I did find myself when I got to the hotel, everybody went upstairs and checked on their rooms, and we're like, all right, we'll meet downstairs in an hour, and then we'll go get dinner, And I went up, dropped my bags off, and then I'm like, I'm just going to walk down to the main drag, just check it out.
By yourself?
Yeah. As soon as I was by myself, people were like, you're like a target. They come right at you. It's like, hey, man, can I get this from you or can I get that? You want to buy this?
Buy what? Like drugs? or escorts or what? They snap in the cards like they do in Vegas?
No, not like that. But there are massage parlors all over the place.
There. Really?
And there's like, they're open, so you can like look into them. And you can, there's like, you know, you just see all the beds or whatever, you know, the massage tables are laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're literally, yeah, there's like, you know, women in front. You know, you want a massage? You want a massage? And you're like, all right, this is human trafficking. It's got to be going down in here.
Right.
So there's like...
That seedy element.
It's so seedy. And they're not going to get any nicer. They're all the same. They're just, there's no one that at least I saw down there where we're like, oh, this would be a wonderful ton of spas.
Oh, you didn't stop somebody and go, they're lovely. There's lots of, so much hospitality, massages on every corner. Tell me, I'm interested in the concept. I'm not so interested in your storefront, though it leaves me a bit wary. Yeah. Is there anywhere else I can get a very classy, happy ending?
Yeah. That's pretty much what it was like. You're looking at it and you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But no, I had the food down there was fantastic. The party that I went to, I mean, the amount of money that is invested into these things, like it was like Vegas. Mm-hmm. They had rented out the old World War II museum for William Grant, and every floor had like a theme of one of our brands. You know, and there's live music, and there's, you know, one room, and then another room you're going into, and there's a DJ, and then in another room there's, you know, there's gimmicks everywhere.
Right. Were there people dressed up? Yeah. Oh, so they
people
have,
were in costumes.
Isn't that funny when you're at like a thing like that, and there's an experiential component as part of the production?
Right.
Right. And they've hired actors to play. Like, there's a guy walking around, like, you know, I'm Captain Morgan. Welcome. You know,
yes,
and doing that shtick.
There's
and,
lots of that.
And you guys are like 20 vodkas deep. Like, what's going on? Captain Morgan's talking to me. You know,
you love Captain Morgan when you're like 20 drinks deep. You're like, Captain.
Okay. So there was a lot of there were guys like that. People that were like hired guns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then there's a lot of people that work within the supplier side. That, you know, they may represent one brand within the portfolio, and you're like, okay, they're kind of overseeing the festivities of that specific theme and that brand. Yeah.
Right.
But I got to really, you know, say thank you to everyone from William Grant & Sons for an experience for sure. There's something about attending something like that, and you go to these crazy parties where they bring the brand to life. In front of your, you know, you're like, oh wow, this is what they're trying to achieve with it. And if there's anything out of creativity or any kind of marketing ploy by anybody in the liquor industry right now, I'd have to say that Hendrix Gin is the top notch.
Really? They're telling the best story?
They've got the best art direction. Let me just say, like, put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, just the style of their party was so cool. I got to meet the master distiller from Hendrix, and it was wonderful to see her and meet her in person. But yeah, just a wonderful, and it's hot down there too during the day.
Did you give her a kiss when you met her? You said,
No, I did not.
Thank you.
No.
Oh yeah, Mike has a great note. How many any guys with frosted tips while you were walking on the streets of New Orleans?
Not like the. And actually, we talked about the frosted tip guy from Florida with some of our people that were down there.
We didn't see the frost. No, oh yeah, that's right.
His name was Steve Johnson, so he claimed the frosted tips guy. And claimed his name was that. No, I did not see him.
Our listeners, last time Bill had a work trip, we made another episode about it, and we created a man with frosted tips named Steve Johnson. Check it out if you go to HibernianRadio.org.
I think that it was very, very, from what I could recognize, you know, you weren't seeing people in their 50s and 60s. Like, you know, this was the age grade, you know, from 20 to 45.
I'd say
that was like, you know, how everyone was really. There were, you know, yes, I got, you know, Mike asked, were there beautiful women down there? Did you see lots of them? Yes.
Yeah. Vampires.
Vampires, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I didn't know, like, as the night goes on while you're in New Orleans, and first of all, it seems like, you know, as soon as it gets dark, it might only be like 8 o'clock at night, but it feels like it's 1 o'clock in the morning just because it's just like, and you wake up, and I got like, we woke up and my coworker Heidi and me, we got up and we were like, all right, well then we had to go attend a class, and then we're like, all right, now we just have the rest of like, we had like 6 hours to like just walk around before we had to be at this dinner party. So we went and checked out one of our brother Brand's parties that was down there. You know, you might go to a big event one night, and then the next day that same brand might have three different pop-up parties at three different places all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we jumped in, you know, before we went to that, we walked around, and that's when I was just like, and you're a little hungover when you wake up if you're drinking.
Right? A little. You guys so smack it when you guys go out there.
And I was like, and I looked around, I was like, it just felt like when you got up and went outside that the night from the night before never stopped.
Mm-hmm. It's like Vegas.
It's 10 o'clock in the morning and there's places with house music just going and like, you know. It was cool. I'm glad that I was able to go down there with such a great group of people. We did all kind of have each other's backs and that was fun. That was New Orleans for me.
Did you make a new friend down there that you're really going to remember for the rest of your life? No memorable friends?
No memorable friends. None of that. I went to the famous Irish Rose, which is a bar down there, and got their frozen
pizza.
They didn't have frozen pizza there. They got the frozen Irish coffees. They're unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did that. Went to Pat O'Brien's. Got myself a hurricane over there.
Oh, okay.
Checked right around there. That was about it as far as any Irish American influence on the trip. Oh, and, you know, of course, I drank some Tullamore Dew down there, you know?
Yeah. Good.
No frozen pizza at the Irish Rose. Although, if somebody had given me a frozen pizza at like 9:30 at night, I would have housed it.
You're so gracious and being so nice to the people at Hendrick's, and
yeah,
your kisses are evident.
Sure, thank you.
In the story,
yeah.
Where's the dirt? Give me something juicy, Bill.
I thought I did not see any fights down there, which is actually a good thing because mm-hmm. that's like a breeding ground for that. It didn't seem like. Now, obviously, we're down in the middle of summer, so I can't imagine what the mob scene like during Mardi Gras is like there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's where you're probably going to see lots of criminal activity. Although there's criminal activity all over the place. I mean, you don't have to ask many questions to get what you're probably looking for if you want to be some sort of a deviant down there. But you know, that was it.
Well,
it was hot.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to go and tell Billy Getty at the Cork and Carry all about your experience and the new spirits that you've discovered and the cocktails that you know how to make now that sure. might enhance his spot.
Yeah.
We're presented by him. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Carry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidey and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Carry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Carry.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste, recycling, and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
Don't touch that dial. The Hoolies Hoolie returns in just a moment.
Do you know what to do when a car is pulled over on the side of the road? First, reduce your speed. Second, change lanes if possible. Third, proceed with caution. These three simple steps can be the difference between life and death. The next time you're on the road, do the right thing. Slow down, move over, and drive like your life and their life depends on it. Sponsored by the Illinois Broadcasters Association. Aired in cooperation with this station. Thanks to the AAA Auto Club for their financial support in the airing of this message.
When your family has suffered a loss, the Sheehy family will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated many years of their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted Street in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. The four provided a personal service that became a foundation for success. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. As a family-owned and operated funeral home, the Sheehys believe the one thing that separates them from the others is the personal service they can provide. The name on their sign outside the funeral home should mean something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. The Sheehy's entire staff consists of individuals who care about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike Arrico, and John Sullivan, and all of their other staff take great, great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. The Sheehys pride themselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family they serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth, Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago-Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Mm-hmm. New Orleans. Billy was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike, for the bump. This is Buckwheat Zydeco. What's the name of this number? I couldn't hear it right.
Hiya.
Yaya.
Well, there you go.
Did you have any yaya while you were in New Orleans, Bill?
What would that constitute? Alcohol? Plenty of that.
Oh, yeah. Are they referring to cocaine in this song?
I think they might be.
I don't know. Thank you for the bump, Mike.
Yeah.
That's Buckwheat Zydeco.
Yeah, I did find myself down there. We actually got a, you know, I had an Uber driver who was, he had an Irish last name. He was probably in his early 70s, and he told me, I go, are you a musician? And he said, of course I am. Uh-huh. He said he's been playing the horn for the past, like, 50 years, and then he put on his...
The past 50?
Yeah, more than that, 60.
How old was this guy?
Like, 71, 72, okay. And he said he had started, like... And I asked him, I was like, is that a big thing down there in New Orleans where, like, you know, everybody plays music? And he goes, yeah, it's, like, part of the culture.
Sure.
Like, everyone, like, has an instrument in their hand, especially, you know, jazz. So, yeah, I found myself going, oh, went the Saints, go marching it. You know, and he played that for us.
In the car?
In the car. He played it when the Saints go marching in.
He had his horn in the car?
No, he had his CD, though.
Oh.
Like his, like, you know, his band. He was in a big band, and he was like, oh, here, this is us. And I was like, who's singing? He's like, that is me singing.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
But you don't remember his name? Got to give him a plug now.
No, I don't. I wish I did, and I thought I wrote it down in my notes, and I just looked, and I didn't. That must have been the botanicals from Hendrick's gin messing with my brain.
Yeah, you're not a good gin drinker, but that's
getting better with it.
Oh, I'm getting better with my alcohol consumption.
Yeah, I'm learning how to not be a jerk on certain ones. Yeah, mm-hmm. Gin used to be one that would, like, make me go, and I didn't.
Well, that's good.
Found a happy place with my gin.
While you were gone, Bill?
Yes.
I had one of the most humiliating experiences I've had.
Did you? Is that because...
Past 40.
Yeah. Your twin wasn't there to help you out, huh?
No.
Oh, yeah.
It all started out with a wonderful... It was a nice day. It was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Nice and sunny. And Mikey and I decided to go to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the pool. Nobody there, you know?
Beautiful.
It's great.
Yeah.
Got in the water. And I went down the water slide at the pool. You know, mm-hmm. Mikey and I will do a lot of that. If no one's around, I'm like, I'll race you down the slides. Yeah. I turn into like a kid when I get to that pool. It's kind of fun for me.
Yeah.
Only when it's like empty like that, though.
Right.
Right. But while I was there, I kind of upchucked some water in the pool, you know, like a little excited or something.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't think anything of it. But, you know, you're always kind of like, ugh, pool water, you know.
Yeah.
And that was it. And, you know, we went home and... went to Target and got Mikey picked out a NECA toy for himself.
Okay. Another NECA.
Yeah, because we had the Irish American Movie Hooli Festival last week, and we screened The Great McGinty at the Lake Theater, which was a great turnout, great people. We had a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to the festival coming up here in September.
Yeah.
Dad, because Mikey was at the event, right?
Uh-huh.
And he had him like handing out like tickets and taking tickets and stuff.
Yeah.
He threw Mikey some dough. Right, he was like, "Oh, here's some money." And Mikey came to me right. He's like, "We gotta get a NECA." You know, I'm like, "What do you want to get?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm some kind of homicidal killer, you know, figurine,
sure,
that's Jason related or Nightmare on Elm Street." He ended up getting Pumpkinhead is this guy, his new guy.
Okay.
Anyway, I ended up having a little Pumpkinhead later on.
Uh-oh.
All right. Pumpkin pie pants.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Oh.
Target's fine, right? Come home, everything. And then I drop him off to his mother, right?
Yeah.
My wife's like, "Oh, can you drop me off to my mother's house with the kids? And we're gonna stay over there tonight." I'm like, "Yeah, no problem."
Yeah.
So I drive him over there, and Mega Millions is, you know,
it's getting insane.
It's getting crazy.
It's over a billion.
And I'm starting to have lotto delusions again. You know,
sure.
Like, well, what if? What would I do? You know?
Right.
Anyway, I'm like, I gotta get a ticket. It's very important, you know?
Yeah, I'm gonna win this. You got a better chance of, like, you know.
And it was like right at the.
Getting eaten by a shark.
And it was like right at the. Exactly. You do have a better. You got a better chance to get eaten by a shark, buddy.
Well, it's Shark Week right now on television. That's why I mentioned that, yeah.
So I get to the Sitco station after I drop my wife off, and I'm in there, and all of a sudden I get a gurgle. In my midsection, okay, and I'm like, and a little squeaker, you know, and it's warm enough where the room goes silent, you know. I just see Robin, who works at Sitco. His lips are just moving, and there's no sound, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, uh-oh, you know. I'm like, Mega Millions now, you know?
The Twilight Zone.
Mega Millions now, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm only two and a half blocks from the house, right?
Right.
Do I, can I make it home in time to get to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm like, I can, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I got it. And you know, all of a sudden the clouds appeared and the sound came back to me, you know? Yeah. And Robin was like, what are you getting? I'm like, oh, Mega Millions, you know? And I'm like, that was weird, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to get home soon.
Right.
I get in the car and I get... My eyes are brown. I'm like sweating. I'm like, oh my God. You know? And I'm like, I'm speeding down the street.
Blowing through stop signs.
Like, oh my God, I'm almost home. You know? Yeah. It's like the Ferris Bueller music is playing. And I'm like, oh, and I get to our house. All right.
Right.
And I get out. And I'm like, oh my God. And I get in and get through the front door with the key, get into the second door with the key. All right. Uh-huh. Now I'm in the hallway in front of my unit. All right.
Uh-huh.
And there's nobody down there. Right?
Right.
And I put my key in the door and the door sticks. Right. And I'm like, no. And I push the door. Like I pull the door like to get it to unstick.
Yes.
And boom.
Oh, it's called getting old.
Pooed my pants. For the first time in my conscious memory.
Yes.
Since maybe I was 3 or 4 years old. Uh-huh. Like that has never happened. I could not. I was in utter shock.
Uh-huh.
Shock.
Did you start crying?
No, I was like, oh, no, it's like just, it was like, oh no, no, like, no, no, you know, like, oh, and so, oh my God. And I couldn't understand why it happened. And then I remember one thing.
What?
The pool.
Yeah.
Like, it's the only thing that would have made me sick that fast where I couldn't get to, lavatory in time. Thank God my kids weren't with like if you poo your pants in front of your kids, like they own you for the rest of your life. Like
they just rip on you anytime they want.
But I was like,
they do that anyways.
I still can't believe it happened. I cannot believe that it happened. Thank God Mike has a great note. Thank God I'm not dating. Imagine if she was with me.
That's it. Yeah. Worst Bumble date ever. You had the Bumble.
I had the gurgle on the Bumble. You know? Yeah. Gurgle on the Bumble is the name of my first album.
Yeah. Gurgler on the Bumble. Now that is a great
Gurgler on the Run. You know, that's a Bruce Springsteen jam.
This next one's called Gurgler on the Run. Doesn't get any more American than this. You know where people have a lot of gurglers?
Drinking pool water.
You know where they have a lot of gurglers on the run?
He went to play Mega Millions, and he just didn't make it in time.
You know where they have gurgler on the run all the time? New Orleans, probably. There's probably lots of gurgling on the run.
It's a dish in New Orleans. You know? I have the etouffee. Oh, we also have the gurgler on the run. That's only if you're real adventurous.
Yeah.
What's it made of? It's made of peaches and apricots and public pool water.
We were at a party, they had pool parties while I was there in New Orleans, and I'm sure there was probably that had a gurgler on the run later because they swallowed the pool water.
Oh, man. It was horrible. Horrible.
Yeah.
I had to get in the shower. I was like, oh, my God. Like, what's wrong with me? Like it was so embarrassing.
If you had won Mega Millions.
Well, here's the thing. After it happened to me, all right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, why does this happen, right?
Sure.
I'm a man of faith.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Lord, why must I gurgle at the sit-go?
Yeah.
You know?
Have I done something to displease right. you?
What have I done? Anyway, I had a weird notion that after it happened to me, that I might win Mega Millions because of it.
Right, like that was your penance.
Yeah, God was like, Patty, you will win Mega Millions, but before it happens, I must humble you for a moment. You know? Gurgle, gurgle.
Gurgle, boy.
Ah. Anyway. Mike has a great note. Did you say bye-bye to the pants?
Yeah, that's what I said. I was like, did you throw them out?
Like, the answer to that is maybe confidential, but I salvaged.
Really? Are they going to Goodwill? Someone's going to get them at Goodwill and they have no idea that somebody had a gurgler on the run in these things?
You know how many pairs of pants I own that probably have been gurgled in by somebody else?
Probably lots.
Another little Tide you can't take out. Hot water and vinegar.
Oh, man.
Those gurgler drawers become new again.
Well, I'm happy that you were able to salvage them.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the antics of how that came to be.
See, I just throw it out. That's not like, you know, that's a lot of work.
Let's just put it this way. I had to throw the socks out. Those were not worth salvaging.
No. You didn't want to give those to the Goodwill?
Oh, no.
These will keep you warm at night.
No, those were like, there was precision care taken of those the same way that maybe a dog's business outside may have been done.
Yeah.
Yeah, those weren't salvageable, which was unfortunate because I just bought them like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, look at these new Hanes. Just gurgled on. Unfortunate circumstance.
So the gurgler on the run also ended up costing you money. You know, you lost out on some socks.
He lost his socks after the gurgler and the recession hit. Gurgler on the run.
Yeah.
Last week I mentioned that my former father-in-law passed away, Cliff Johnson,
right.
Who was a wild talent with Off-Broadway.
Yeah.
His obit came out this week.
Oh, I didn't get a chance to see it.
Cliff would have enjoyed my gurgler story. He would have loved that. Yeah. Anyway, his obit came out in the Tribune today. It's great. All right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking about, so I encourage everybody to check that out, Life Well Lived there. And I think that's the obit we were all looking for. And it was so nice that this guy put it together.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very happy about it. We think that it celebrates Cliff quite nicely. But during that time, Haley, my ex-wife, has been posting things on Facebook, you know, lots of songs that have been reminding her of her dad.
Yeah.
And she posted one that I forgot that I really liked. And it's her favorite. It's called Just In Time.
Yeah.
And in the case of my story here, I think it's kind of prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, or prevalent is probably not the right word, but relevant. We'll be back after these.
Here in my heart again. Don't ever disappear or try to slip
time.
Nice.
Yeah, I love that one. Thank you, Mike, for playing that. So before the break, you heard all about my gurgler. And that was the most eventful thing of my week. On top of the fact that I got news.
Yeah.
The show I produced for the Cubs on Marquee Network will premiere Monday night.
Very nice.
I'll be with Brad Morris and I believe Steve Trout is in that episode.
Cool.
And Frank Schwindel.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So check that out.
Check that out. Marquee Network. I believe it starts going to be an 8 p.m. Screening.
Okay.
I'll try to get more numbers on that later on. Yeah. But yeah, we're excited about it. We waited a couple of months for it, and we were kind of worried about like what was going to happen, and then got word the other day, like, yep, we like it. Here it is.
Good.
So a bit of interesting news on that end.
Yeah.
And then I'm also revving up and getting excited about the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame Awards that are coming up on October 5th.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to sit down and meet Dan Hampton today.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. Great guy.
Yeah.
We were at Butterfield Country Club. You ever been to Butterfield?
I have.
Super nice.
Very nice.
Hampton was nice enough to sit down and talk to me and share some stories about Marcus Allen, who's getting the Gale Sayers Award.
Yeah.
Cool stuff. Looking forward to that event. Chris Chelios getting inducted. Brian Urlacher. Lee Smith. Crane Kenny, the executive of the Cubs, who I also met recently, is also a great person.
Yeah.
It's always nice to meet people. Like, if you meet people you really kind of admire professionally, and then they turn out to be really good people, like, that's always such a nice surprise. You know? Like, yeah. Oh, wow.
No,
you know? Charlie Carey and I had lunch with Crane Kenny last week and welcomed him to the Hall of Fame, and he was a very classy guy. So,
well, I made it. We finally made it to our first. Well, I did my first Sox game last week.
We did, and we had some great seats.
Incredible. And we were on TV.
We were on TV the whole night. Yeah,
yeah. You could see us right there,
Mike. We sat on right behind us at Sox dugout, first row, and that was thanks to Charlie Carey, my boss, hooked that up for us.
And then we got to see a White Sox winner. But there's something about being in those kinds of seats. It's a game changer.
Total game changer.
You're like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's like it's interesting to get that up close to it. And I think I spoke about this a few episodes. Like, when you see the heat that these guys are throwing, it's like a totally different perspective than what you're watching on TV. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa. You know?
Yeah.
We all went. Me, you, Dad, my daughter Charlotte, my son Mike, and his buddy Hayden went.
Yeah.
That was a really fun experience. I got to actually go around Sox Park and do like the kid zone stuff with Mikey. I've never done that before.
Yeah.
That's a neat little thing that they got there that keeps the kid occupied during the game. It was nice because I was worried that Mike might, as nice as our seats were,
right.
I still worry that my little guy's going to punk out after like the fourth or fifth inning and be like, let's go, you know, because he's already gotten his treat. He's already gotten, you know, his hot dog and his ice cream and all that stuff. And then luckily I was, and they got balls. How great was that?
Yeah, they got balls.
Each kid, my son, Mike, my son Hayden, or my son Mikey and his pal Hayden, the ball boys came over and gave them balls when the game started. It was awesome.
They probably got him like the second inning.
They rolled him up to him.
Yeah,
and I was like, do you know how rare that is? Like, that never happened to me as a kid. Like, I was so grateful for that experience. And they were over the moon about it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went to the kid zone. As soon as they started getting antsy, I was like, come on. And they were like, can we go check that out? I was like, yeah. And that kept them occupied for a good three innings. And then they were kind of tired, and they were like, all right, let's go back to the seat. And then they chilled for the rest of the game. So having that integrated into the ballpark is genius. I think people overlook it. The Sox won. Yeah.
So they ended up winning.
They came back. They were winning all game, and then they blew it. And then we came back in the ninth inning and won it.
Yeah, because if they had lost it, I was going to just say, that's it. The season's done now.
It was Yasmani Grandal bobblehead night.
Yes, they got the bobbleheads.
We got that. Yeah, that's always nice when I go to the ball game and I didn't have to pop for souvenirs because it was bobblehead night and the kids got a ball. I was like, they're done. I was like, it doesn't get any better than that.
No.
I was like, oh, that lets me off the hook.
Yeah.
So now I'll go buy you guys three sodas for
$24. Uh-huh.
Which is what I did. I could not believe it.
Yeah.
They're like, it was two Minute Maid lemonades and a Sprite in a bottle and to bring down to those guys. I went up, and obviously it's cashless, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go, they don't even tell you how much it is. Like, they're ashamed. You know, they go, oh, just tap here, you know? I go, how much is it? And they go, oh, tap there. I go, how much is it? She goes, $24.35. I'm like, yeah, I'll tap it. You know, fine. You know, I go for three pops. She's like, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know? I don't even. So apparently, people aren't even asking anymore. They're just going, okay, okay. You know, just taking the hits. It's hard. I mean, it's the ballparks have gotten kind of a bit outrageous. Like they're you can't be a middle class family and enjoy yourself at the ballpark.
I mean, even when you go to an airport, like I was in the airport and I was like, all right, it was actually. The ballpark is more expensive than the airport, and you'd think it would be kind of on a similar par.
Mm-hmm.
Or close, but, I mean, a bottle of water at a Sox game is $7. Like, today I got a bottle of water at the airport, and it was, like, $2.50, $3.
I get it. Like, but, like, I don't know. Like, why is it that high? Is that so that they can pay the players, or is it just straight-up greed, you know?
I think it's a bit of everything.
I haven't been able to, like, you know, like, if there's an owner that comes in and sort of renovates the game somehow by putting a ball by having an affordable ballpark experience and putting a stellar team on the field at the same time. How does one achieve that? What sort of revenue streams do they need to create outside their organization to make something like that fly?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think if somebody figures that out, that'll be the most powerful team in baseball or sport, really. Because their fans will come back to them and they'll be rabid loyalists and they'll make it all back up on merchandise sales and stuff like that. But I could be wrong, but like the more and more I've been going to the park recently, I'm like, all right, enough. Like, mm-hmm. you know, people have gotten hurt the last couple of years. Like, the ballpark wasn't totally full, but it was pretty full. I mean, I was kind of shy. I was like, I can't believe all the people here that are just like, is everybody just paying? Like, and they are, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess if they can get away with it, they'll keep doing it, right? So I guess the fans have to take a stand. Like if you're mad about that stuff, I don't know what the fans do anymore.
Yeah.
I was actually kind of like Crane Kenny brought that up when I had lunch with him recently. He mm-hmm. was like, "We're absolutely working on that," you know. So it was refreshing to hear that like they're aware of it, you know. And I'm like, but we didn't get into the semantics of like why it exists, but. You know, he did speak about, like, how running a baseball organization is a lot of thinking cap stuff like that. And it is always on their thought mind, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, overall, though, great experience at the park.
Yeah, like, I mean, I never go wrong there.
No.
I always have a good time.
You know what? It didn't seem as restless or as high, like, you know, the ballpark's usually a buzz and you're like holding your kid's hand like, don't get away from me, you know, like, ah, and it seemed very like very organized and streamlined. I don't know if that's because of the tech component of like no cash being involved or stuff like that, but like,
yeah,
there is, it does seem more seamless of a more seamless experience than it has in the past. Uh-huh. You know, but yeah, maybe it's a post-pandemic thing, Mike. You might be right, like everyone kind of respectfully social distances now. But yeah, there's none of that bumping up on people or anything like that. It was actually quite easy.
Yeah.
And thank God I didn't have to take a gurgler.
No. No.
We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these.
Chicago Southsiders have always known where to get the best pizza on earth. Fox's Pizza. For over a half century, the Fox family has been creating that delicious thin crust za that your mouth will tell you, this can only be Fox's. It's a Chicago Beverly neighborhood institution at 99th and Western, as well as in South Suburban Orland Park, where they combine delicious food with an Irish pub ambiance. Fox's is owned by Tom and Frank Fox, whose parents, Frank and Therese, bought the Western Avenue location from Al Capone's sister back in 1964. The Fox family opened the doors to their Orland Park location in 1973 at 143rd and Ravinia Avenue. Chicagoans will recognize the stone turrets of their Irish castle, where great times have been celebrated for generations. Fox's is perfect for the whole family, pickup or delivery, or you can dine in, relax, and have a cocktail with your dinner. Whether it's steak, ribs, chicken, or especially pizza, it's all good. Having a party? Fox's also does catering. Call Fox's in Chicago's Beverly neighborhood at 773-239-3212 or in South Suburban Orland Park at 708-349-2111. Mention this show for a free toothpick.
Flood Brothers Disposal was started over 90 years ago by their grandfather. With more than 20 family members still involved with the day-to-day operations, the Floods are service-oriented and believe that the right way is the only way to do something. Flood Brothers is price competitive and still offers the personal touch in an industry-trending corporate. For client-centric service without all the corporate garbage, call Flood Brothers today for a quote on your solid waste recycling and yard waste collection services. Call Bob Flood today at 630-261-0400 or go online at floodbrothersdisposal.com.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Hang in there. We're almost ready for some more of the Hoolies Hoolie. Stay tuned.
Hey, listeners. I know we don't talk about finance much on this show, outside maybe the amazing Bitcoin the Musical, which we currently have in development. But I do want to take a moment and tell you about two brothers who make this show possible and why you should consider having an honest conversation with them about the future of your finances. Mike and Dan Madden are the brains behind Madden Funds. They've been lifelong friends to Bill Clay and me, and we entrust the Maddens with our money and the precious donations of our listeners so we don't let outrageous ideas get the best of us. And you should too. Do yourself a favor and reach out to Dan or Mike Madden today to book a consultation on the future of your finances. If you have questions about your financial future or current situation, give them a call. The number is 708-848-3200. Again, that number is 708-848-3200. Or you can visit their website, Madden Funds, at www.maddenfunds.com. Again, www.maddenfunds.com.
On the death walk of saloons that decorate Western Avenue, only the Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, the soul of Beverly, sits right on a 50-yard line of Chicago's Southside Irish St. Patrick's Day Parade at 106th and Western. Generations of Southside Irish have quenched their thirst in the Cork, snuggling up to memories of family, faith, and fierce loyalty to friends. It's the jewel of this neighborhood where we celebrated weddings, christenings, wakes, and unforgettable victories. Proprietors Bill Guidy and Mike Fitzpatrick, now celebrating 20 years in business, welcome you home for a cold brew, to share a good story, or help you throw one hell of a party. With over 20 beers on tap and a full bar for your pleasure, this is the spot you can sink a root and get your Irish on. Cork has plenty of seating, from our private event rooms to our 300-person beer garden. Our interior space brings you back to the homeland of Ireland with our vintage photos and authentic Irish decor and Chicago memories of the good old days. So say hello to a stranger, make a new friend, fall in love, or just enjoy the company of people you forgot you knew. The Cork and Kerry continues the Southside tradition parents and grandparents brought here from the old country. Come on by the Cork and Kerry and get some. The Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, 10614 Southwestern Avenue, for private parties, just pals hanging out, or intimate cocktail rendezvous. Come on home to the south side of Chicago at the Cork and Kerry.
They sure will. Yeah. They sure will. Thank you. That's Elvis Costello doing Accidents Will Happen. It's kind of the theme of tonight's program.
Yeah.
He didn't say Gurglers Will Happen. I suppose you could maybe so the jingle's fair use and we can go the other route.
We have to write the song Gurgler on the Run.
Gurgler on the Run. Absolutely. Well, there's a song called Turd on the Run, isn't there?
Oh, I think there probably is.
I think it's a Stone song. Can't remember.
Maybe, I don't know.
No, I can't believe. Turds on the Run.
Turds on the Run. I don't think. I don't know if
I thought it was on Exile. Might be.
I don't know. I don't know if it
it's
has
on Exile,
but I don't.
Turd on the Run.
Oh, okay.
Gurgler on the Run is just Turd on the Run.
Does it have the same connotation of what Gurgler on the Run is?
We were going to call it Gurgler on the Run, but it was easier to pronounce Turd instead. Thank you, Mick.
Wow.
Yeah, where is the Exile stories?
You just said the term turd. How did that
you're
evolve?
You're such a turd.
How did that evolve, though?
The evolution of the word turd?
Yeah, like...
I don't know.
Did somebody just all of a sudden go, you're a turd?
Right.
And what?
Do you think it's a British word? Oh, you're such a turd. Like twit?
Oh,
you're
maybe.
A turd instead? I doubt it.
Know.
Look at Mike. Mike, can we get on the turd Google horn?
Yeah, Mike, check that out for us.
Man. I did think, you know, because we had Sean Flannery on the show last week, and he has a show called The Blackout Diaries.
Right, yeah.
What if you had a show called The Poo Poo Diaries, where get up in front of an audience, and they tell a story of an accident that they've had, very humiliating story about an accident that they've had, because there's so much self-deprecation involved, right?
Yeah.
That people will enjoy that. Or we approach the guys at Dude Wipes.
And they make
a series of it on Insta or something like that.
I see, now we're thinking.
The Poo Poo Diaries.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Dude Wipes.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, are they listening? Hopefully you're listening, guys.
Yeah, I think his name, what's his name? Ryan is, I think his name, it's going to kill me now. The guy who's in charge of Dude Wipes. He's been on our dad's program in the past, our dad's
show. Right. Yeah.
It's going to kill me now. Anyway. Yeah, that was kind of my train of thought was like, how do I monetize this experience for myself?
Yeah, right. How do I turn an awful accident into roses?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's Sean Riley is his name. Thank you, Mike. Sean Riley of Dude Wipes, if you're listening, the Poo Poo Diaries is calling.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you, these stories will go viral the same way pool water does. You get a little overexcited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of tattoos down in New Orleans, I noticed.
Ooh, what is it about poo water that makes you say tattoo?
I don't know.
You said poo water. Tattoo. That's what I associated.
Here, you know what I saw down there that I'd never really, and maybe it's just because I don't notice it here in Chicago, or I'm not looking for it, or maybe it's because people aren't wearing as revealing type clothing that they might be in a warmer climate like New Orleans.
Yeah.
But I've never seen more neck tattoos and like tattoos... Like in the underneath, like
your breastbone,
in your like midsection, like your abdomen area, and there were women that were all like rocking it,
yeah.
And I was like, this is new. Don't see this that very often, unless I'm just not noticing anymore.
Were there any? Was there any tattoo parlor stuff at the event? Like, hey, come get a Hendrix Gin tattoo?
No, not
for
like
free.
That. Not that I noticed. I mean, there was stuff like you could get if you wanted to like. If when I face painted or something like that, they had all that kind of stuff going on.
Oh, why didn't you get your face painted? That would have been fun.
I looked like remember who was the guy that was
you looked like the guy on Dragnet who was on LSD. See that episode where the Joe Friday is like, "What's wrong with you, son?" And the guy's like, the guy's like a kid who's got half his face painted gold and the other half painted blue, like he's a San Diego Charger fan.
Oh, really?
And he's like, "I ate some acid," and they're like, "Acid."
Yeah.
It's a great episode. Nick at Night used to watch the old Dragnet shows.
Yeah.
But you should have done that while you were down
I'm
there.
I'm surprised. Like, can you imagine,
hey, Heidi, how about we go get our faces painted?
Yeah.
We're in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Why not?
What was the WWF wrestler, Papa Shango?
Thank you. Mike has pulled up the picture of the guy from Dragnet.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be that guy. Walking around New Orleans.
Didn't see a lot of that looks, but that wouldn't be out of the norm.
Yeah.
I could have done like the voodoo look where I painted my face to look like
Papa Shango from the WWF.
Yeah. Just walked around and been like,
I'm Billy Shango.
No, but then I'd be normal. Hey, how you doing? I'm Bill and you just look like
Billy
that.
Shango from William Grandsons. How are you?
And did you try the new Neptunia, our new gin? Are you enjoying your time here? No, I didn't see the voodoo, it's down there.
Sure.
But I didn't see, lots of people in voodoo garb.
You didn't see anybody in voodoo garb?
Like, oh, go to New Orleans. I'm going to get my voodoo outfit ready.
Right. Guy put the gurgles on me. Yikes. It was a rough plane ride home, I'll tell you. Imagine if you had a gurgler on a plane.
That's it. They'd have to. You'd be kicked off the plane.
You can't. You're in the air. There's nothing you can do.
Do we know any stewardesses or flight attendants who would be able to share, you know, maybe a story about a guy who had a gurgler on the run in, you know, on their airplane?
Yeah. Air gurgler. Gurgler in flight.
Gurgler in flight.
Gurgler in flight.
Yeah.
Let us unite.
Uh-huh.
All right. We're at the end of our program. Yes, if you've enjoyed the last scatological hour of laughs,
yep.
You can find archives of this show if you go to hibernianradio.org.
Yep.
Or you can find us on iTunes if you search for Hooli's Hooli Show. I do want to thank the sponsors again, Cork and Kerry Irish Pub, Fox's Beverly Pizza, Flood Brothers Disposal, Madden Funds, and of course, Guinness Irish Stout. Guinness is good for you. Mike, we're going out with Turd on the Run by the Stones. Until next week.
Bye.